Good morning and welcome to the Earth Day edition of Pandora's Box. I'm Lynn Patrick and I'm here with my co-host Tom Yoder. And this morning we're going to be talking with Pete Dronkers, the Southwest Circuit Rider for Earthworks, which is an organization that basically looks at oil and gas development and protecting the environment. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. So, when you were last on the show, we talked about the potential for hydraulic fracturing in Montezuma County and the master leasing plan and the letter that was being signed for the RMP. Can you talk about meeting with the BLM and delivering that MLP letter, the master leasing plan letter?
Yeah, so last time we talked, we were in the process of getting some more signatures on that and getting it into BLM. Ultimately, we came up with almost 2,600 signatories on that letter, many of whom were from Colorado, and quite a few were from the Hesperus and Mancos areas, a few from Cortez, some from Durango, a few from Dolores as well, in outlying areas. And so we provided that letter to BLM in a two-hour-long meeting that we had. A couple folks from Hesperus that live right in the center of the lease activity came out with us, and we sat down and had about a two-hour-long meeting with the assistant field manager, Brad Dodd, and one of the oil and gas team leads, Tracy Perforce. And, we explained the whole situation to them and how many people are in support of this and what their concerns are for oil and gas leasing and basically just how they want to have a seat at the table, and they don't feel like they're getting that with this leasing activity and these lease proposals.
And Pete, for our listening audience, let's just remind them basically what the MLP letter said.
Yeah, so basically what it says is that the folks that signed the letter are very much in support of La Plata County's position on the entire issue. Basically, La Plata County has been very active in encouraging the BLM to go ahead with a master leasing plan based on some certain criteria about how, you know, what justifies those plans to occur. And basically the letter just said, yeah, we don't feel like we're getting a seat at the table. These leases are occurring around us without without consideration to the fact that most of the people in that area, or a good portion of them, have actually written to BLM in the years past, very passionate about how they're concerned about oil and gas leasing and how they've protested the lease sales, and they've written comments, technical comments about it, trying to either get them deferred or protest them, and they're just not big fans in general of their lands, their backyards getting leased without them at least being able to help shape the process. And so the county's quite aware of that, and so the county's been, they've commented a lot in the past, and they've protested the lease sale too, and the general management plan of the area has also been protested by a lot of those people out there because it does not include a master leasing plan. And so those protests will go to sort of a resolution process. Well, I shouldn't call it a resolution process. It's more of a process to try to smooth out the protest, but we still don't know when that's going to be. For both the resource management plan as well as the lack of an MLP, master leasing plan. So that's what the letter said, and we made a really strong case in there, and yet BLM is just still being very non-committal about this, and we were hoping to get some kind of an explanation that they would say, okay, we'll give this some thought, but they're really just, it's kind of falling upon deaf ears, and it's a problem for us.
So, if you're just joining us here on Pandora's Box, we're talking with Pete Dronkers from Earthworks Action about the future of hydraulic fracturing in Montezuma and La Plata counties and the recent master leasing plan that the Bureau of Land Management is considering for it's approximately 1,700 leases in this area, the La Plata Montezuma County area. Is that correct, Pete?
So for the field office of the BLM, which is called the Tres Rios Field Office, the most The acreage that we're concerned about is about 12,500 acres. And in terms of lease parcels, I'd say it's probably about a dozen or two dozen actual lease parcels. But the parcels are quite large. I mean, they can be, you know, hundreds and hundreds of acres in size, if not, you know, 1,000 acres, probably in the hundreds, though, for sure. And they vary in size. And they're not contiguous. They kind of, in this case, they form sort of a checkerboard pattern. And the greatest density of them is right around Hesperus, in between Mancos and Hesperus. And for those that know that area, it's not no man's land out there. There's a lot of people living out there. There's some surface waters. There's a lot of productive ranch lands. And it's all connected by this very sort of set of dirt roads that are not wide and straight enough to handle hundreds, if not thousands, of daily truckloads coming through there every day to bring in the materials that's needed for hydraulic fracturing. And so, you know, that area would change forever if those leases were ultimately sold and development would occur there. And so that's it's just not a suitable area for that. And so, you know, some development could be worked out and, you know, through consensus through the master leasing plan. But I think what I'm hearing from people in the area is just that the way the BLM is approaching it is too much all at once. And if there are problems, they would all occur at once, whereas a master leasing plan would set up the framework so that you could have phased development. So if a problem occurs, you could actually go solve that before more problems start happening. And so that's one of the key provisions of a master leasing plan that we, you know, we hope ultimately BLM will agree to considering for the area. So
great. Thanks, Pete. We're going to take a short break. This is Pandora's Box. We'll be right back. We're back with Pete Dronkers from Earthworks Action. And Pete, I want to change the direction right now and talk a little bit, since it is Earth Day, about fracking nationally. Can you just basically summarize where we are with the hydraulic fracturing process? Excuse me. Process of gas extraction in the United States and some of the environmental and health impacts?
Sure. Well, so nationally, in the last 5, 6, 7 years, you know, hydraulic fracturing has really boomed in a lot of places, most in Texas, southeast New Mexico, the Front Range, the Northern Front Range of Colorado, Pennsylvania, and the Bakken Formation up in North Dakota and eastern Montana. Those are some of the hot spots where fracking is occurring. In my opinion, the reason this is all happening is because our conventional domestic energy resources of oil and gas are diminishing rapidly. They're depleting. And so to make up for that, you have to go to the oil that's a lot harder to get to. And this is very hard to get to. It's thousands and thousands of feet deep, and it's basically locked into solid rock. And so, to get there, you have to drill way down, and then horizontally, because these shale layers where the gas and oil are, they're very very tight and very thin. And so you have to get the drill bit right in there and then run it out horizontally thousands and thousands of feet. And then you pump highly pressurized water full of all sorts of lubricants and chemicals and silica sand, which is a pretty bad substance. It's bad for the lungs to mine it. A lot of it comes from Wisconsin. That alone is sort of a problem. And then that sand gets wedged in the cracks, and oil or gas, depending on the formation, is able then to slowly be released out of the solid rock and migrates upwards to the wellhead. The main problem is that when the process occurs, you have in some cases, upwards of 10 to 12 millions of gallons of water that is part of the process that comes, that is required to frack a well, but also a lot of that comes back out. And a lot of the natural groundwater and a lot of the you know, the materials that are down there to begin with come out too. And a lot of times those are not good. Those are often naturally radioactive occurring elements. They're things that were not supposed to come out of the ground originally, and yet they're coming out in addition to all the drilling compounds and chemicals that we don't know much about even today, because these are secret proprietary recipes. They're exempt from the Safe Drinking Water Act. There's a lot of loopholes, political loopholes, about how these things are regulated. And ultimately, at the end of the day, when you frack a well, you've got millions of gallons of highly contaminated water coming back out. And the question is, well, what do you do with it? And so there's a couple ways to deal with it. One is through putting it in impoundments and letting the water evaporate, and then dealing with the solid waste in a sludge form after it evaporates off, and then you truck that out to a solid waste landfill, or I think in some cases it just gets left on site and buried. In fact, I've seen some cases of where they're doing this with pits that are unlined, and so all that contaminant just soaks right into the groundwater. The other way is dealing with injection wells, and you have to truck this stuff out or pipe it out to an injection well, an industrial injection well, and pump it way down in the earth and pressurize it, and then you cap it. So you're basically just putting the waste back into the ground somewhere else. And in Texas, there's a lot of talk these days that some of the increased earthquake activity is coming from these injection wells, because they're actually lubricating faults, and they're migrating to different structures underground, and they're lubricating the earth, and so they're causing increased earthquakes in a lot of places. And so our group has taken a pretty close look at that. So there's all sorts of problems with this stuff, and the amount of material it takes to frack wells is astounding. I mean, it's something like 5 to 6, 7 times the amount of steel that it takes to produce oil and gas conventionally. The water, the silica sand, everything. It's just a very industrial process.
So, Pete, what do you see happening in the next 5 to 10 years in Southwest Colorado as this process apparently is moving forward in terms of allowing leasing to go on? Which is what I'm understanding that you're saying is that the master leasing plan is moving forward, and the BLM is going forward with the leasing especially in the Hesperus Mancos area.
No, I have to clarify that. BLM is not moving ahead with the master leasing plan at this time. We are trying very hard to make sure that they will, but they have not given commitment that they're interested in doing that, which leaves the stakeholders in the area completely without a seat at the table. And unless they create that master leasing plan, it'll continue to be that way. People just won't have a voice. And so there's a couple ways it could go. We're still hoping that BLM, we're still putting a lot of pressure on them. The protests are going to be going into settlement soon. And we hope that the end result ultimately is going to be a master leasing plan for Southwest Colorado for the federal lands on the Bureau of Land Management lands. Now, if that happens, it's going to be a much different future, in my opinion. We're going to have a much more well thought out, sensible process for how this is all going to occur, and we're going to keep development out of the places where it doesn't belong, and we're going to give people a seat at the table so that they can really help shape where this happens and reduce the amount of problems. And ultimately, I hope, you know, to reduce the chaos that occurs in shale zones like the Bakken and like the Eagle Ford play down in Texas and all these big shale plays. Now, if a master leasing plan doesn't happen, I basically fear the worst. I'm concerned that Southwest Colorado is going to end up looking like the Farmington field office in northwest New Mexico, where 93% of the entire field office of the BLM land are currently leased, which means that the industry now has more or less free reign over that region over the federal lands there. And drilling is already picking up pace, and it's going to become more widespread, and the drill densities are going to increase, and the stress on freshwater and the surface of the land is going to increase, and all the infrastructure and pipelines and roads and everything. And so I don't see why that, if there is shale where any any profits can be made by extracting the oil and gas, which really requires a high price point for those products, I fear the worst. If there's not a mass releasing plan, I think that there's going to be a lot of continued lease activity in Southwest Colorado, and ultimately I think there's going to be a lot of development. Now, it's a little early to tell because we don't quite know what the nature of that shale is. There's been, my understanding is there's been 3 test wells drilled around the Hesperus area. One of them was by a company called Swift, and it's difficult to get the results. I haven't seen the results myself yet. I've been trying to get them to see what kind of shale they've got right here. And, you know, if it's producing oil and gas or either one, you know, I think development is going to start occurring much more rapidly. And so, so that's my sense of what would happen here, I think. Yeah.
So thank you. So, Pete, it's my understanding that you're appearing tonight after the viewing of the film Gasland 2, which is being put on by a local group at in Mancos at the Grange Hall. Gasland 2, I was privileged to see it debut, its national debut at the Telluride Film Festival this last year, and it's basically a film about hydraulic fracturing in the United States, particularly in New York State, and what citizens are doing there to try and get a seat at the table. And you're going to be appearing to answer questions after the film, is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be there.
So that's at the Grange Hall in Mancos tonight, correct? At 6 o'clock, and that's at 680 Grand Avenue, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'd have to double-check the time. I don't have it offhand.
Yeah, it is at 6.
Yeah, 6 o'clock at the Grange Hall in Mancos. That's in downtown Mancos.